Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 26th through July 6th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only, some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell.
That's what you came with?
That's exactly actually hitting the ball. which they did all weekend long. Again, the A's, I know I'm very fearful of the A's, see?
You're very fearful of a lot of things.
Well, but
the Nuggets, the A's.
Well, and rightfully so. Oh, the Nuggets aren't the 2 seed? Okay.
Mariners scared you at one point last
year. Who's a higher seed, Nuggets or Rockets?
We'll see how long.
Dude, Rockets, though, I went last night, 19-3. This is a better team than last year's team.
What?
Yeah, this is a better team than last year's team.
Why do you say that?
Because they're with their bench, Daniel Howe. Listen,
it's deeper.
It's better, which means better. Daniel House, Austin Rivers, Kenneth Faried. Gordon is a starter. Either way. But Eric Gordon's better than he. Eric Gordon is on fire. Is on freaking fire. He looks so good. His shot looks, while he was really bad earlier in the season, I don't think he's getting near enough credit for the way that he has played. Eric Gordon looks great. And Daniel House is a huge, you had to depend on Gerald Green last year. I think Gerald Green's minutes are probably going to be, I don't know how much he gets in the postseason.
You're a lot less erratic with Gerald Green on the bench.
You are.
I mean, that's just the truth.
That's the truth.
I love when he's hot and I love the energy and all that stuff, but let's just be real about this. I'd rather have a guy who is steadier in the playoffs. And that's House. I mean, House is just a steadier shooter. I guess he's steadier in the playoffs. We got to see. But he is a better shooter than Gerald. Gerald is just he's a heat check shooter. So we got to see. I'm looking at Eric Gordon this year. You know, it's actually a pretty low field goal percentage for him at 41%. Last year he was almost 43%.
No, but again, look at his last month or so.
Right. Yeah, no, he's been hotter. I mean, he did get off to a really bad start. Shooting 36% from three, which is below, that's actually low for him. However, it's better than last year. But he is, I mean, it's all about timing for Eric Gordon. Eric Gordon is another guy who's been streaky with the Rockets. He's been a good player. He was a good pickup for Daryl Morey. Daryl hit with Eric Gordon. He missed with Ryan Anderson. Eric Gordon has been, he's been a solid player for the Rockets.
Dude, if he shoots this way in the postseason, the Rockets are going to be, he could be, we talk about the star. If he shoots the way and continues to shoot this way in the postseason, he could be that Klay Thompson. He could counter that whatever Klay Thompson does for the Warriors. And then I'm telling
you, like him that much to counter Klay Thompson?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Dude has been really, really good. I don't think we're giving him nearly enough credit.
Yeah, I mean he deserves credit. I'm not going to put Klay Thompson on it. I mean Klay Thompson is one of the best shooters in all of basketball.
Isn't that why Eric Gordon is here? Is the way he shoots the basketball?
I mean he's a good shooter. He's not a great shooter. He hasn't been a great shooter for stretches of his career. I think he's a good shooter. I can't find numbers that call him a great shooter. I think he's a shooter who, he relies on getting hot. I mean, when's the last time?
Well, that's where he is.
I mean, 2014-15 was the last time he shot 40% from three. So it's been a little while since he had that kind of, three-point shooting going on.
Well, this month he's shooting 45%.
Yeah, yeah. He's having a good month.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. That's what I said.
I mean, he's,
he's really, really has been on fire.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm glad he's having a good start to April. He's not Klay Thompson, though. Klay Thompson's a different guy.
If you shoot 45%, if he continues to shoot the way that he's shooting, then he is.
But he's not going to shoot 45%.
Well, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see.
But he has no career of doing that.
We'll see if he does in the postseason. I mean, that's what I'm saying. The way he's playing right now, it bodes really, really well for the Houston Rockets. They are a really, really good basketball team right now.
They're going to play really good.
They're
teams
playing
too
the same way. They're 19-3 over the last 22. They're playing the same way or even better than they did down the stretch. I mean, they were unbelievably great last year down the stretch. And they're playing that same kind of basketball. And I think this team is built more to win than that team was. I love the addition of Kenneth Faried, of Daniel House.
I love all the two. I do know, though, you win games based on starters for the most part. I mean, when you look at the minutes played, you can have depth all you want, but those guys only play, certain players only are on the, there's only going to be seven, max eight players that have a big impact in a series.
That said, when you play Oklahoma City and Russ sits down, we've seen it. If you don't have any bench, we saw with the Heat when they initially when they had no bench, you know, they couldn't get all the way through. I think this team is deep, you know, and he definitely, and when he doesn't have a stomach flu, Mike D'Antoni, he cuts his bench down in the postseason. It'll probably be an 8-man rotation. And this 8-man rotation, I really believe, is better than last year's 8-man rotation. So we'll find out. We'll see.
In the 19-3 run, they have played Phoenix twice. And look, Dale, you may have to get the sticks out for him. Not for me. I don't need the sticks today. I like them. I think I'm not ready to say they're better than last year, but they've played Phoenix twice. They've had Minnesota, the Pelicans, the Hawks, the Knicks, Sacramento twice. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, now you did beat the Clippers, which is a good win there. You beat the Nuggets, which is a good win. You lost to the Bucks at the Bucks. Of course, you had 4 of 5 that were on the road at that time. You beat the Spurs.
You beat Philly, Toronto, Boston, all in a row. You beat Golden State in that run.
I mean, don't believe Philly. Who do they play without? I know they were missing one guy. I don't know if they're missing both Embiid and Embiid didn't play. They did have Simmons and Butler. They controlled them from the start, big first quarter, but Embiid did not play in that one. I mean, I guess I don't – you're right, Lance. I mean, the Eric Gordon, Klay Thompson, all the other stuff is fine. I don't know if I will expect Eric Gordon to shoot at that clip in the playoffs because, like you said, I've never seen it before. It's remarkable what he's doing. It's not, in April, he's shooting over 50%. He's shooting like 50% from three. In March, he was at 45%. So it's been an extended run of him shooting the ball really, really well.
That's a month and a half of shooting the ball great.
You just, to see it.
Well, then he's due to come down because historically what's happened for 13 years.
What happened to Thunder Sticks?
Well, I'm just being.
Well, he likes them.
I
think the Eric Gordon thing has him shook. I think all the other stuff you find with, you drop Klay Thompson on Eric Gordon, he's like, what?
I mean, Klay Klay's going to go down as one of the greatest shooters in the history of basketball.
Well, let's see. Okay, we're going to see who has a better postseason, Eric Gordon or Klay Thompson.
I mean, I hope I'm wrong on this one. My money, and I think it'd be Vegas would be heavily swung
and
towards
I'm gonna
Klay
take it
Thompson.
Even. And I'm going to take it even.
That's an all-star.
I'm going to take it even.
Okay.
All right. You mean the sixth man of the year a couple years ago?
Second team all NBA, and he'll also be the
versus sixth man of the year.
He'll also be a max dollar deal.
Versus sixth man of the year a couple years ago. Okay.
That's wow. I mean, how do I argue that against sixth man of the year a couple years ago?
There you go. That's it.
I mean, Klay Thompson's Lou Williams. I guess they're the same player, too.
I passed the sticks over to John, and he's banging the piss out of him right now.
You're damn right I am. No.
For EG.
I'm just saying.
Look, it's more than Eric Gordon. I was listening to the names we were rattling, or John was rattling off as far
as. It's a lot better than last year.
The way they got him makes you think it's not, but these are established players. Like Kenneth Faried's a guy they got off a scrap heap. Austin Rivers, another guy. Was it the Wizards who didn't want him? I don't know how exactly he came to be a Rocket.
Well, it was just a buyout. They just wanted the money.
The trade and then a buyout, I guess, is what it was. Just a lot of guys that other teams didn't want, and the Rockets have turned those guys into valuable rotation pieces.
So last year the Rockets won 65. This year they'll win maybe 54. You did have James Harden out for. So you actually had three of your best players out a little bit together, overlap, but you had two of them out for a pretty long stretch.
Yeah.
Chris Paul and Clint Capela. So that was to be expected.
Wait a minute. And this is that was the beginning of the year that everybody on the bench is gone from that team. And it's a totally different bench than that team was that started 11-14. That's the difference in this season. That's the difference in this season from last season is that slow start, that 11-14 start.
Well, let's look at the box score for the game before Chris Paul got hurt. Golden State Warriors and Houston Rockets. Rockets won 98-94 in that one. Off the bench for them, the Rockets team, the Rockets core unit, was P.J. Tucker, Trevor Ariza, James Harden, Chris Paul, Clint Capela. Very, very similar to this year. Eric Gordon came off the bench. But, you know, the problem was, and like you talked about, the big difference between this year is I would say Chris Paul is not the same player, but I would say James really is the same player. I know he won MVP last year. I'd say James is the same player this year that he was last year. Certain stats are going to be better. Certain are going to be lower. I don't think there's a difference in his play. But the big difference is in that game, John, two guys came off the bench. Crazy Gerald and Eric Gordon. They combined for 9 of 20 shooting, and that was it. Only 7 guys played in the postseason in the game before Chris Paul went out against the Golden State Warriors.
He really cuts down
this,
the bench.
This year, I don't know. And you know what? The game before that, those are the only two guys who also played. Now, let me go to the Jazz because, frankly, Golden State's a matchup issue, so there's certain guys who you can't even play. So I shouldn't. So against the Utah Jazz, Eric Gordon, Luke Bamute, who we know had injury. He never came back from it. Gerald Green and then Nene. Nene was never going to play against Golden
Bamute
State.
Bamute was basically.
This is a much better bench. This is a much, much better bench. I would like to have Eric Gordon off this bench, but Daniel House gives you a shooter.
Yeah. So, oh, my God, and a really good shooter. Yeah, and hey, you could...
You might have a claim. You know what? The numbers aren't there, but you might be able to argue it without... It's 11 games, 11 wins less, but you could say, look, they're better suited if somebody isn't hot. Like, let's just say Chris Paul didn't play well or something. You're better... you're better prepared, right? You're better prepared
to
step in.
Well... The addition of Austin Rivers.
It helps.
It helps. And the addition of, and again, Daniel House, as opposed to Crazy Gerald, who you don't know what you're gonna get. Listen, if he's on fire, he's unbelievable. If he's not, then it's just, wow, that was a crazy shot. Daniel House is solid. Kenneth Faried is, you know what you're going to get night in and night out of him. Chris Paul is going to be really healthy and he's playing much better at this point. I don't look at the whole season because this is a totally different team. And oh, by the way, Chris Paul was, I don't know what happened to him at the beginning of the season. I don't know what that was the aberration of Chris Paul's career was the first half of the season. Since they've come back from the All-Star break. And secondly, you know, we talk about how they played. They're playing better defense now than they played last year. This team in the second half of the season has really played well defensively. Yeah. Like one of the top NBA teams. So I just feel like this team is better built. Now, I would like to not see Oklahoma City.
Isn't this strange, though, how, and this really speaks to why I'm such a Daryl Morey proponent. And I don't think that's not a hard sell. I mean, you'll have the holdouts who are waiting for him to fail, but I think most people are very pro Daryl Morey. But we talk about what he didn't do in the postseason. And then by the end of the year, it's like this team's stronger than they were last year.
Yeah.
That's what we say.
His offseason sucked, but he definitely made up for it.
Well, Daryl already said last year, and he proved it this year, that the trade deadline is the most overrated, that the buyouts are the new trade deadline. Yeah. The buyouts are the new free agency. And he's ahead of the game with that. And you look at Faried and Austin Rivers. I mean, when you really, he played hardball. He tried to play hardball at Daniel House. Daniel House played hardball back. Daniel House won.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at what the Rockets have this year, give me my sticks. Can you get my sticks out, Dale?
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to feel the sticks. You're going
to have to overcome what John did first before we start to play him.
Yeah, well, I know.
Well, do you have multiple sticks? Because I'm pounding my sticks right now.
I'm looking at stats as opposed to sticks, and I don't know if I buy the Chris Paul playing better than he was earlier. I know there was a time, 1 month, where he struggled. But, I mean, the last month and a half, he's under 40%. He's under 40% shooter. I mean, the three-point stuff has gone up.
He's not been the same player.
That's I'm talking about.
Sticks?
Yeah. Other sticks. We're going to call him other sticks. I mean, he's shooting better from three this month. But he has. Not like he's shooting the ball much better. I mean, he's been okay. Chris Paul's been okay.
Chris Paul has been just fine.
I said okay, yeah.
Yeah.
He's fine.
No, he's just been fine. He's shooting 42% from three this month.
What's his overall percentage? He's under 40, just like he was the month before.
He's shooting 42% this month from three.
He steps up in clutch situations.
That's right.
What clutch situations have there been in this month?
In the playoffs, he steps up. Until
was he around in 6 and 7?
Unless,
what you know about the playoffs, though?
Nothing. I know that he never finishes a playoff series.
Yeah.
Nothing? Well, this year's a lot different.
He's shooting 35% from three this year.
That's okay. Great. That's great.
I'm gonna take it.
I love it.
I'm fine with that, especially the way that he started. He's don't worry. Don't worry about Chris Paul.
Everything's fine, Del.
Yeah. Don't worry about Chris Paul. Chris Paul will be just fine, Del.
I'm sure he will be until his hamstring rips apart, but yeah, he'll be fine.
Well, you know what he is? He's a champion.
No, he's not.
Year in, year out.
No, that's actually not the case. He's not a champion.
No, oh yes, he is.
No, he's not.
No, it's right here.
He's not a Western Conference champion. Time to talk about champion energy.
You just called him one, though, John.
Yes, he is. That's right. He's my champion.
I'm sorry, he doesn't have a gold medal.
He's a champion of the people.
Gold medal champion of the world.
Does he have a gold medal?
Yeah. Probably, I would assume.
Yes, he has a gold medal.
You said when he had Carmelo.
You don't even know that. Was he on the team? Was he on the team that?
You want to see?
Was that an Olympic team or NBA, or is that the world championship?
Was he on the team that embarrassed the country? I don't remember which team he was.
No, probably not.
Does he go to 1560energy.com? I hope so, because I'm worried about his money. What if he runs out of money? All right? He's only got $160 million. Hey, listen, I don't care how much money you have. You don't want to give it to the electricity company. What you want to do is keep it in your pocket. You don't want if Chris Paul gives too much money to his electricity company, he could go broke. We've heard it time and time again. Athletes going broke because they spend too much money on electricity. That's why. So if you're somebody who's making $160 million or whatever you're making, you got more money in your pocket. If you go to 1560energy.com, that's 1560energy.com.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
You've been on the other side of that, so you got to look at both ways.
Well, if you don't like it, stop. Austin Rivers gives the Houston Rockets 27 threes, a new NBA record.
27 last night. Like is it even? I mean, they were just threes were flying from both sides. Did you see? I mean, I don't know how many people watched last night's game. Probably nobody. But Bender is standing outside. Dude, 7 feet tall. You got little dudes under the basket while Bender's standing out there trying. And it was just run down and put up a three. Run down, put up a three. 27 threes. The Rockets now own the three highest three-pointers made in NBA history. 27, 26, and 26 all this year. And they're just silly numbers now. Just silly numbers now. So...
And we discussed this last week. I don't know where you sided, but the Nuggets and the Blazers split. So there was not a sweep either
right.
way. I don't know which one you thought was more beneficial. I don't remember.
I didn't care. I didn't want what I didn't want was a split because now four is still in play. You know, if Portland would have won both games, two would be in play. And three would most likely be a sure thing. But now that they've split, two's out of play. Is out of play.
Well, Nuggets.
It's still in play, but you know.
And Portland's a game and a half back. So, I mean, I don't expect the Rockets to get swept over the last two.
There's only one. The Rockets have one left to Oklahoma City.
Well, I'm looking at the difference between the two.
Oh, right. Well, but they've got two, and Rockets got one, so they got to go to Oklahoma City.
Well, I guess they could lose if Oklahoma City decides
to Yeah, Oklahoma try. City's going to try. Oklahoma yeah. City wants to get the higher seed. Yeah, they're right there with L.A. And San Antonio, just yeah. a half game back.
Well, it could be. Well, right now, there's 3-6, each of them. Both of them are, well, Rockets 3, Oklahoma City 6, so it could be they see each other on Saturday or Sunday.
Right. But if the Rockets win, they don't get Oklahoma City. So I would like to see, probably don't get Oklahoma City. I would like to see them beat them. But how much do you put into it, really? That's the question. How much? Did you guys see Friday night? Boy, were the Knicks pissed. Did you see the Rockets with 5 minutes left in the game? There was one guy on the Rockets bench. All the starters went into the locker room and showered. With 5 minutes left in the game, there was one guy left on the Rockets bench, and the Knicks were the post game. We got to find out.
Yeah, it was. That's a little. What was the rationale for that? By the way,
screw them. We don't. This was. It was disrespectful.
100% there was a party.
Well, could well be. I don't.
100% there was a party.
Probably. And the second thing is that they didn't give a rat's. And last night was disrespectful, too. A lot of the Chris Paul between the legs, and they were doing just all kinds of James with the passes, and they were just like, screw it. This isn't really basketball. This is just, let's just have fun. It was both nights were just like, you guys really, really suck, and we're going to show you how much you suck by putting 149 on you. But leaving the bench, the Knicks post-game show was about 20 minutes of how disrespectful. And just wait. When the Knicks get good, they're going to remember this. The Knicks are going to remember this, Rockets, and they're going to show you. Yeah, well, all of these guys will be retired when the Knicks get good.
With Kyrie and
Kevin Durant next
Kevin
year.
Durant?
You think it didn't happen to Kyrie? It didn't happen to Kyrie and Kevin Durant.
All I saw was Kevin Durant and Kyrie and Zion are all playing together. That's what ESPN told me for about a month.
That could well happen.
Could well, or they could be playing together for the Nets.
Yeah, that's more likely. And they weren't part of this, though. So which guys on this Knicks team are going to be part of their new dynasty that's going to dominate the NBA and retaliate against this Rockets team?
I don't know if David Fizdale's still a coach, unless they think he's accumulated too many losses to coach the actual team that has a chance to win. I don't know if hey, Kevin, you remember, I know you weren't here, but those guys embarrassed the guys who you don't even play with anymore.
Right.
So could you do something about that?
Could you take
Mr.
care?
Dolan? What if somebody says they embarrassed Mr. Dolan?
Yeah, but the Rockets' rationale was just taking care of their bodies. That's what the spokesperson said. The Rockets, they were just taking care of their bodies?
Well, actually, D'Antoni's been sick, and Bezdelic couldn't stop him from leaving. Hey, Bezdelic, you already retired. Beat it. We're going in the locker room.
That is a little disrespectful.
It was a little disrespectful.
This is the NBA you guys don't like, because in the old NBA, if the Rockets face the Knicks again, someone got taken out.
Right.
Yeah.
Nobody's getting clotheslined here. Nobody's getting clotheslined.
Or they just would have taken it out on the guy on the floor. I know your guys are gone, so... Hey, in fact, we have the numbers advantage if a fight starts because all those guys are in the belt. Why didn't the Knicks do that? That's what you do. There's like five guys. You got the numbers advantage. Just slug someone.
That's true.
No one's got...
You know what, though? Bezdelic would have gone, my four. I got four on the... That's my team's on the floor. My team's on the floor. And you know what? I'd still take the Rockets in that matchup.
Look, I'm just talking about there's like 12 Knicks. I mean, they barely care. But if you decide, if like five guys are back in the locker room, you slug someone. And then the Rockets look really bad because... PJ Tucker and others are back there while their teammates are getting beaten up. If the Knicks want to make this season more fun, beat someone up.
Listen, and then we got to dig a tunnel and get to their locker room, like the Clippers thing?
Lance said, the guys were probably already at the party.
They probably were.
Yeah.
They probably were. 713-780-3776. It really does.
That is disrespectful to leave a game. They got whole like 30 for 30s done on that when somebody leaves. Of course, that's a playoffs. This is the Knicks. It's right. A little different. But
that's Randy Moss walking off the field.
It was a little like, what the? This has got to be like, I'm not missing this party. I don't care what any of y'all say. This is the Knicks. It doesn't matter.
We knew we could get out early.
Yeah, I mean. What
time does the party start?
What are they coming back?
9? All right, we'll be there. Don't worry. Right. Won't worry. We'll take care of this business. We'll be there at 9. All right, 713-780-3776. We'll talk Astros baseball on the other side. What a game yesterday. What a game. Our team is hitting again. How
what
about that?
A game indeed. And it's a we were watching it on Friday. I had the kids come out, and we were out on a patio, made a little red snapper. The wife got some red snappers. So I said, here's what we'll do. Make some red snapper, and then we will take that, and we will go outside and let you kids watch baseball out there. So we watched Colin McHugh. Got the food ready for them, got their drinks out there. We were set up, and we watched a little baseball. It was a beautiful night out on the patio and really enjoyed it. And that's one of the big advantages is you can do family time there. Here's the other big advantage. When the wife and kids were away, I had several of my buddies from the neighborhood and some old high school friends come out, and we did steaks and drinks, beer, cocktails, whiskey, steaks, and then steaks. And then some garlic bread to go with the steaks. All out there on the patio. The guys all love the patio area. You know, you can get your own little spot like that, too. Texas Custom Patios is the builder. When I was looking for someone to build patios, I wanted to find the best quality I could, but price, obviously, is important. But what I found was I paid for a unbelievable quality. These guys are the best in the state. And go look at their work. You don't have to trust me. They've won awards. Go look at their work. Go to TexasCustomPatios.com and go to the blog. It answers a ton of questions that you might be having. If you've been on the fence, you've heard me talk about this. It truly can make your house a home, whether it's a standalone patio, one that is built onto your existing structure. Maybe you are looking for an outdoor kitchen, an enclosure, a sunroom. They can do it all. Go to TexasCustomPatios.com, or if you want to see what they did for my patio, you want to see the patio they built for me, the before and the after. They looked at the space. They said, oh, this is what we can do for you, and it's unbelievable. Go to TCPLance.com.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
They felt it better just to walk out of the gym before the game was over, go into locker room. There's no rule says you can't. You know, it's not like they're going to get fined or anything. But these are one of those games, if you're the Knicks and, you know, you're a young player in this team that you expect to be around here for a couple of years, you don't forget about stuff like that. It's a small moment, and it's irrelevant when it comes to this season. But as you're a team trying to build, a franchise trying to rebuild respectability around this league, those are moments you have to look at and remember the next time you see them. Remember the way you were treated when you were a franchise trying to get it right. That's all I say on that. The Rockets can do what they want, but the Knicks don't forget a scene like that.
Now, Mike D'Antoni, not coaching, had the flu. Jeff Podzelic, the assistant running the bench, who knows if it's different, if D'Antoni's there running the team, maybe he doesn't allow
the guys. Well, Amon Shumpert stayed, and I credit the former Knick, Amon Shumpert, for sure. I know Walt said that as well. Walt Frazier said the same thing, that he was showing some class. And so I appreciate Amon Shumpert doing that, but there's the bench. There's Amon Shumpert.
I mean, there's 142 to go on the bench.
Yeah.
And the
there's the team. John Lucas, you know, looking as well.
So I think Zach makes a good point. If the Knicks are going to tank and put out a G League team, why do the Rockets have to respect that? It's true.
Well,
make no bones about it. They're tanking.
Well, that's fine if you talk with the Knicks organization, but it's not like the players have decided.
No,
we're not
you're right.
Play.
You're right. But you know what? You put out an inferior
so
product.
So the Rockets are disrespecting James Dolan, or were they directly disrespecting?
No, they had
the
a party. Like Lance
field?
Said, they had a party to go to.
Yeah. So
it's got to be 100%. And Shumpert. First of all, I forgot Shumpert played for the Rockets, and then secondly, he can't. He can't do that to some of his former teams.
No.
Which shows you that he thought it was a disrespectful move.
Yeah. Well, or he just said, I'm going to sit on the bench.
I don't think they
would have
done
it. Like everybody does.
I don't think they would have done it with Mike D'Antoni.
I don't. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe
that's
not.
A little bit of a disrespectful
shot.
Yeah, maybe.
The substitute teachers in the building.
Yeah. That's exactly what it was. The sub who preaches defense, actually, this substitute teacher does. The subs here, like.
He's writing on the chalkboard. Everybody's throwing spitballs.
Rolling the TV.
Yeah.
Put the TV show on. Right. Put a put a movie for us to see on because we're not going to pay
paper
attention
wads
to
are flying across the room when he's turned his back to write on the chalkboard. Yep. I'm Mr. Bezdelic.
But this sub has actually has a lesson plan. Everyone's just,
yeah. Oh, this guy wants
really?
To teach.
Watch this. Like 10 minutes before the bell rings, everybody gets up and walks out of the class.
Oh, great. He's a teacher. Fantastic.
Yeah, right. No, but you know what? There's you got both sides of it. Rockets are like, screw you guys. You guys,
I don't think it crossed the Rockets' mind at all. Man, the Knicks ain't even really trying to win games here, so we can leave. I think they're like, man, we're just gonna get out of here.
Or these guys suck.
That's you know fine. What? But the whole Knicks organization isn't putting out a product that didn't cross their minds. They may have just thought this team sucks. We don't want to be here. But it wasn't like, you know what? They're disrespecting the game, so we're gonna disrespect them.
Yeah, no. They had a party to get to. What the Rockets did to the Knicks was wrong, in my opinion. It shows bad leadership, especially Harden. I don't think that has ever happened. Well, teams have left before the game was over. The Detroit Pistons, when the Bulls beat them in the playoffs, they walked off the court they walked off the court before the time was out.
And then Michael Jordan remembered.
Oh yeah, Mike remembered.
Isaiah's career basically ended.
Yeah, right.
Day.
It sure did.
Okay, let's see. You won't be in Dream Team. You won't be at. I'll make sure you never get it at an All-Star game again. Like Mike said.
Except when he makes out with Magic, then he did.
Who's the New York Knicks, Michael Jordan, do you think?
Amari Hazonia?
Yeah, probably. Who's going to make the Rockets pay like that?
He blocked LeBron to win a game.
I'm pretty sure he's not Michael Jordan. We got a lot of stuff to talk about besides this. Okay, first of all, I thought it was a foul. I thought Kyle Guy got fouled. It affected the shot. How stupid that he, you know what? You got to let him take it. And if he makes it, he makes it. If he doesn't, he doesn't. But don't foul. I mean, how many times? And I'm positive Bruce Pearl told him, don't foul on a three.
Kid got caught in two minds. He goes, I'm going to jump to challenge the shot. No, I'm not. And then since you didn't even challenge the shot, you undercut him.
What was that foul called? If you watch the broadcast, you know
point
exactly.
A to B.
It's A to B. It's Gene Steratore's. I love the fact that Gene Steratore. He's like, if there's any officiating to be done, I'm going to do it. I don't care what the sport is. I'm football. I'm basketball. You guys ever get any baseball coverage, get at your boy because I will make sure and hook that up for you.
Well, he coached college basketball. I mean, he ref college basketball.
I know. He does it all.
Right. But I don't think he Major League Baseball.
I bet you he could do baseball.
He probably could. Okay, so
it was 100% a foul.
It was a foul.
100%.
No, a lot of people said it wasn't. It was a foul.
A lot of people are stupid and should be thrown in a ditch and buried in
the
sand.
Well,
I mean, if you're going to say it's not a foul, then
all those people that were on Toomer's Corner said it wasn't a foul.
Did the people on Toomer's Corner? I got to tell you what happened. So I met Rob, who's from my neighborhood. So I'm at his house. They invite us over. So me and my wife and my kids come over, and the kids are running around doing whatever. So he went to Auburn. We're sitting there watching, and like any good Auburn basketball fan, he just really started in the postseason being an Auburn basketball fan. But he's an Auburn fan.
Yeah.
I mean, in football.
Well, if it says Auburn on it, he's going to cheer for him.
In football, you bleed, you die throughout the season, right?
The volleyball team and it said Auburn on the jerseys, he's rooting for Auburn.
Yeah, if he lived in town and if he lived, you know, close to the school, obviously you live and die through baseball, basketball, softball the whole night. He's in Houston.
Yeah.
So what is an Auburn fan going to do? A guy went to Auburn. He's going to care when the SEC tournament starts. I got no problem with it. So a lot of people, frankly, who follow March Madness do that now.
Yeah.
A lot of people. So anyway, so we're watching and they're down 10. And I'm thinking, well, this is done. And then they make the great comeback and it's, you know, Gag City for Mich State.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, wow, Michigan State is just gagged this way. Then Michigan State hits that three in the corner. Virginia. UVA hits that three in the corner.
Oh, yeah.
And to cut it to two and like,
Yikes.
That's interesting. And then like, so it's not officially a burial yet. And then you go down, you missed a free throw. And here we go back the other way. Yep. And I'm just thinking, well, there's not enough time. Good look in the corner. Foul. As soon as he fouled, he's a wreck now. Before they even shot the three, because he realizes, holy crap, this should have been a win. And he knows that Miss Frito could come back to get him. Never mind the fact that later on, Gene Steratore would come back on after the fact, say, yeah, this ball that
was tripled foot, off his leg. Yeah,
should have been a double dribble. Call,
yeah. So.
After the game was over.
Listen. A dude was standing right there, too. The ref was looking right at it. I could tell that the defender didn't touch it. He bounced it. Jerome bounced it off the back of his leg and then turned around and grabbed it with both hands.
When they blew the whistle, they're showing it right there on TV. When they blew the whistle, I for sure thought, I thought they were calling double dribble, and they said, no, it's a foul. And I thought, well, I guess he fouled before? Because my thought was, man.
No, because they didn't call it until after he grabbed him, after he picked up the ball and grabbed him.
When I saw the replay, I realized. Yeah. And I kept thinking, I think that's a double dribble. But I didn't want to say anything at the... Yeah. I mean, I'm just letting Rob sweat his game.
Well,
I'm
no, you should have said, hey, that was a double dribble. You should win the game.
I don't want to
piss him off. You should have won the game, Rob.
No. I don't want to piss him off more. So then immediately they had a foul to give.
Let's go to that first.
Okay.
Jerome loses the ball. There's about 2 seconds left. He's going to have to throw up a runner from about 25 to 30 feet. I don't know that it was the best call to foul there.
Well, you talk about
they already had it called.
Once he loses the ball,
well, coach told me to foul. I'm going to foul.
I get it. But man, I don't know that was. I get it because in play and all that, you have to do it. But once he lost the ball, I thought this is why. What are you doing?
See, you did have enough time, and he went down there and he shot. I mean, they had enough time to get. He had enough time to get down and get a decent look.
Just
at the three.
That Jerome
he missed it.
Actually took a bad shot. He had more time.
Pull up at the three.
Yeah. Instead, he was rushed because he didn't really know the time, and he took a bad runner after he got fouled. So who knows what he would have done if he didn't get fouled? I mean, coach tells you to foul. I guess you foul because you don't want to hear from coach if a guy makes a shot when you didn't foul.
I would rather have had Jerome. I get it, and I understand it. And if he didn't, they still had a foul to give, and everybody. Blah, 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 blah. But once he lost that ball, I thought
it just got him out of rhythm.
But that's a big deal,
and that's why he didn't have the rhythm of.
If
the
he could have
in
stayed in front of him, as opposed to just reaching and grabbing him, I mean, there was all kinds of stuff.
But still, there wasn't much time though. There was 1.6 seconds. So they still, even with that foul, they had 1.6. There's not a whole or whatever time it was. That elevate and three shot with the foul called. Rob, he could hear the whistle. I knew exactly what happened. Like, oh, God. I'd started recording. Mm-hmm. I was going to record a celebration. And then when I realized it was like a foul, I was like, I put the phone away immediately. Rob picks up.
You should have picked up. What?
So we're on.
Did you edit?
This is even.
Why didn't you videotape this?
Because I have a code, and my code is not to fade a guy who's taken a bad.
This
beat.
Would be on Barstool today. Auburn fan goes nuts.
No, you have no idea. It 100% would have. It's three couples, right? Husband and wife, three couples. He sits down. He grabs the seat cushion off the wicker patio furniture, throws it against the TV or the fan or the TV as hard as he can, and it makes some noise, turns around. I hear him screaming and cussing. I look back. His shirt is off. Somewhere he has thrown his shirt off. He's sitting there with just shorts and nothing else. He's taking his shirt off. I thought he had ripped it off Hulk Hogan style. And he's just like, rah! And he's hulking out, which totally understandable. And I'm just like, I got to make sure. And then it was only later that I wish I would have kept recording.
Yeah.
Because I thought at the time, and I can see all of the, and my kids all the kids are looking from the, looking from the house
outside,
and my kids are smiling. Like Snacks is smiling. He knows that it's something sports related, and he's like. But my favorite is when Mason came out just for a second. My wife, with 7 seconds to go, she goes, "Get back in the house! You're a jinx." She just screamed, "You're a jinx!" at him.
Oh my God!
And then I got blamed for being a jinx after the thing. Rob's wife said, "Wait a minute, when you went home to pick up your wife." At halftime, that's when everything started to go sideways. It was kind of you that jinxed this. I'm like, I'm not, and I'm really superstitious.
Well, maybe it was Nicole who got there that jinxed it.
Exactly. I wanted the jinx title off me because I'm superstitious. I don't want people saying I'm the jinx. I'm like, it was Mason. Mason's the jinx.
Yeah.
You know, everybody but me is the jinx.
Right.
Oh, you missed the double dribble call.
Matt Thomas, you put an entire.
He probably interviewed somebody.
And
somebody with Auburn.
You ruined a career with that.
He maybe had Bruce Pearl on yesterday, of the game. I don't know.
All right, 744 ESPN and 97.5.
Are you excited at all about the game tonight? I actually am.
I am too. I know CBS ain't. They didn't even come out with they were supposed to do an announcement of the ratings from Saturday, and they just said, nah, we ain't doing it.
It's just like, they're just going to do it by the way. They're not going to play music. Just somebody will be in the studio going,
Texas Tech, Lubbock, and Charlottesville.
Hey, the first time ever, one shining moment will be like a funeral dirge.
Yeah, right.
Like on ESPN, when something sad happens, they play their normal outro, but it's like a little sadder. That's what CBS will play throughout the entire night.
Guys, an Italian will take on a team that lost to a 16 seed. Coming up next.
Well, they'll sell
CBS.
That story.
Guess what?
16 seed to national.
Tony Bennett had something great to say about that, as a matter of fact. We'll get that on the other side.
It's actually a really good story.
It is a good story. You know why? Because everybody's doing testosterone there.
That has nothing to do with it, but Men's T Clinic, it can turn you into a success story. How about this? Men's T Clinic can, if you say, man, I'm just really fatigued, I'm leaving the gym, and I'm too tired. I don't get to complete what I used to complete. I don't see the same, lean muscle mass that I had before. I see a lot more belly fat than before. You know, those are issues that could be attributed to low testosterone. You won't know until you go get tested. Once you get tested, you'll find that out. I can tell you this, that my friends over at Men's T Clinic, they can get you right. They will test you. They'll find out where you are. And if you are low, they will start to work with your insurance company to get that covered for you or give you an idea of what your coverage is going to be. And it's a huge quality of life issue. When your testosterone is right, you see better metabolism, quicker thinking, your mental cognition and your processing goes up. These are all scientific facts. You can look them up if you'd like to. You'll also see that your libido can improve, your drive at the workplace, your ability to really just live your best life on the weekend. Don't be a couch potato. Go live that life. That's all available through Men's T Clinic. Go to mensteaclinic.com. That's mensteaclinic.com. 4 locations here in the Houston area, mensteaclinic.com.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. When, after Kyle Guy got fouled, what were you...
I didn't think he was going to make three.
Did you want to... I said, boy, if there's one thing I don't want to be right now, it's Kyle Guy. I do not want to be standing at that line with the national championship... entry into the national championship game on my shoulders for a university that's never been there before. I thought, boy, what a pressure situation. And then last night you had a good Wale. She's on the line. Mm-hmm. She needs both to tie. Now, I thought she put that up pretty quick. Mm-hmm. I actually watched 3.9 seconds of that game, and I happened to see...
It's a new John. He's been trying to tell you this for a long time.
Because I'm woke. But we were in the Lexus Lounge at halftime, and hey, look, there's 3.9 seconds left.
Oh, you accidentally saw it?
I accidentally went, hey, okay. It's a 2-point game. She got fouled. Wait, she got fouled. And I knew I'm a women's college basketball mm-hmm. expert now. Mm-hmm.
So you know what a foul is.
That was the most women's college basketball I watched all year. But I was like, okay,
this is a
lot like, although he had three to make two. To tie the game. He had three to make two. She had just two to make two. And she missed the first one. And then she tried to miss the second one and threw it in. Which happens.
Didn't R.J. Barrett do that too?
Yes, R.J. Yeah. Barrett did that as well. That happens more than you think. That happens quite a bit. But that's a terrible, terrible situation to be in. And I know you want the ball in your hands. And what I don't want now, Notre Dame won it, and she was the hero the year before. So her legacy is going to be she's one of the great.
Did she make the shot to beat UConn?
Yes. She was the hero, and so her legacy is going to be that. Now she'll always remember that missed free throw for the rest of her life. But she was also the hero, and she's now a Hall of Famer because she won a national championship, and all women go into the Hall of Fame.
What?
Rudy T can't get there though, but never mind.
Hmm.
So.
Now you're less woke.
No. Rudy T doesn't deserve?
I'm not saying little. Rudy T doesn't, but you're all women make the Hall of Fame. Now you're a little less woke.
If you've seen. I felt for Kyle Guy in that situation. How about him standing there with, you know, tens of people watching on television? And
there are thousands in the building.
Yeah, there were thousands in
that's
the
building. That's what he was probably more concerned
probably. But, man, to have that kind of where it's just you on that line and the whole university is on your shoulders.
Well, we've all done it at home. Obviously, it's not the same, but we've all put ourselves in that situation where free throws to win a game or we go jumpers, free throws. But, yeah, that was the ultimate.
You can do that in your driveway.
Yeah, I know. But
it's a little different.
I know. I was getting to it. This is the ultimate of that situation to the extreme where you say to yourself, if I miss two, we lose. If I make three, we get in. And he came through and was fine, completely fine. Didn't even look bothered by it.
No, he didn't. And I thought, how smooth, how cool is that, dude? And how about the three from the corner that he hit earlier? I mean, that, you talk about clutch.
But, you know, his free throws, that's why, to me, I look at that and I say, oh, my God, I don't know if I could step up. And I remember being in my driveway many times trying to simulate that kind of pressure, game-winning free throws to see if I could make myself feel pressure. And then you find out, you know, if you talk to enough sports psychologists, whatever, you know, pressure is man-made. There's no such thing as pressure. Pressure is only, every situation is its own individual situation. Pressure comes from, is self-created. So your brain creates pressure and creates disruptions in the way that you perform. And so when I saw him get up there and make those three, and I mean, they were no doubt free throws. Boom, splash, splash, splash. That's one of the things that is why I watch sports, because they can do things that I don't think I could have ever done that. Even if I were in there, you know, there's the ability to play with such a focus and a mental toughness that not everyone has who plays pro sports doesn't have that. They're just really gifted. I don't know if this guy is going to play any pro sports, but I know this much. His mental toughness to go up there, and he's an 81% free throw shooter. That's a good free throw shooter by college standards. It's pretty good by NBA standards. For him to go up there and make all three in that situation, dude, the mental toughness that yes. takes in a big arena, in a pressure-packed situation, that is phenomenal. And I remember watching him in an interview after the second round game where he said, I know people are not going to believe in us. That's fine. Because that was asked of him by the sideline reporter. You know, people, you're now onto the Sweet 16 a year after you were the first team ever to lose to 16. He goes, hey, we don't care what other people think. We know people think we're not going to get even to the Final Four, but we're really focused. We know we have a good team. And he just had this level of confidence that I was really impressed with. And this is after just moving on to the Sweet 16. And ever since then, I've been thinking about the fact that this team has a chip on its shoulder. They were a good team last year. They obviously got tight and choked. They got a good coach. They played defense. They've got Jerome is a really talented scorer. Like, that's another ballsy player. That looks like such – but that team did gag a little bit down the stretch.
Yeah, it did.
Letting Auburn back in. Well, I mean, you can't not mention that.
No, But Auburn, man, I'll tell you what. I don't know.
Tech's the better team, aren't they?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, we've seen so many teams. Auburn's a great tournament team because when they get hot, of course, when they start missing because they depend so much on the three, but when they get hot, when Brown and Harper get hot, holy crap, you can't stop them. You just, because then you come out on them and you try to defend the perimeter and they run by you. They are quick. Holy crap. That's a good basketball team. And if they hadn't lost one of their best players, who knows what would have happened? Who knows what they could have done at all? But that was a great game, despite the fact that, you know, it was Auburn and Virginia. What a great! I think we've had a bunch of great, memorable games here in this tournament. While, I mean, a lot of people are saying this wasn't a great. I disagree. I think this has been a great tournament. Although I wasn't. I don't know. Were you guys excited to see this weekend?
Yeah, I was.
Were you?
What do you mean?
I'm appreciative of the closeness of the games. I wasn't necessarily excited about who was playing.
I don't know.
I actually like this.
Some reason,
this Tech team is fun to watch.
Yeah, this Tech team is fun to
watch. I know it's not, but how they're built and the way that they play, they got a couple good shot blockers. They got Hoosiers. Jimmy Chitwood just defies logic. He started off at Air Force, then went to a South Dakota school, and now can't be checked on the perimeter.
No.
And he's this weird finisher that finishes everything around the paint. He doesn't make sense in at Texas Tech, a graduate transfer. Then you got some Italian running around. Moretti.
Yeah.
I mean, it's I've never seen
no,
a team
and he
like
is
this.
A vital
and a hard ass coach.
He is a vital defense cog. I look back at the last year, he averaged like 3.5 points a game.
Yeah.
And Culver was just a 11.5 point a game. This is, I mean, somebody tweeted out, you know, that zero out of 49 coaches had, Texas Tech did not have not one point in the preseason poll. And I said, you know, I tweeted out, hey, you know, when the media does that, they'd say, you look how stupid the media is. They don't know anything. These are coaches that did that. And AJ said, well, this was a much different team. And he's right. They didn't have three of their top four scorers back. But the deal is, from now on, Chris Beard ain't going to be disrespected like that. Calipari turns over his team. Kansas turns over its team. Duke turns over its team. And they bring in all freshmen, and they're up there at the top. Chris Beard will never be disrespected and not be a preseason top 25 team anymore. He is a good coach.
We had this talk before about
really good
if the
coach.
Texas job came open. If he wins a national title, does he leave Tech for Texas?
That's a great question.
But
Shaka just won a national title.
I think he would.
But we've had this talk, and it was different before.
Shaka just won a national title.
I get it. But we had this talk before he got to a Final Four, before he got to a title game, and you alma mater, all that stuff. If he wins a title, can he leave Tech for another Big 12 school, particularly Texas?
Yeah, he can.
Will he?
He's apparently got an out for Texas.
I know he's
Texas.
Got the out clause, but would he do it?
I don't know that. I don't know that.
I think he would, and I hate saying that. I'm just guessing, but I just think that you look at how this team was put together, two graduate transfers. You've got – it's harder to scrap it together. The thought is always going to be facilities, money, recruiting-based Texas. It's just a huge advantage. And in basketball, it is different, though. Like, you're getting a national championship with Tech. I don't like it for Tech because I do think that's one of the reasons we sold him. We haven't talked about Kelvin Sampson either. But Kelvin Sampson getting his long-term deal, signed with Houston for 6 years. I think ultimately Kelvin Sampson even said in his press conference, I know I can win here.
Yeah.
I know I can compete for championships.
Well, and that's something we got to talk about too, because Texas is it's amazing to me. UTEP, the only Texas national champion.
It's not a basketball state.
Now, are you kidding me? You know how much basketball talent there is here?
That's fine.
And it's all over the place. Maybe this Texas Tech thing. Maybe Buzz Williams going to Texas A&M. Maybe Chris Beard.
Yeah, and the best talent will still go find their way.
Maybe not.
This is a basketball state. But this is a basketball state now. National invitation champions.
Right.
And looking to make it back-to-back years. Shaka Smart
three
next
champions.
Year.
Baylor. Tech.
Yeah, Baylor, Tech,
and Texas.
Okay.
And Houston was the basketball team.
If Tech wins a national title, do they get the move from Lubbock?
That's the problem.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
That's what I thought.
Okay, let's talk right now about being gritty.
They might relocate.
You know what Texas
gritty.
Tech is?
They're gritty, G-R-I-T-T-Y. You know what? You can be gritty, G-R-I-D-D-Y. Would you like to bypass the middleman and go right to the grid when it comes to energy prices? That's really a question that should be answered with an affirmative, and I'll tell you why. I did this a month ago. I got my first month free. It costs you $10 a month to be a member of Gritty. Gritty is wholesale electricity. It's just like if you are Costco or Sam's or whatever, you pay to be a member of that club, and then you are able to get special prices and discounted prices. You get to buy wholesale. It's the same thing with your energy costs. Texans... people in this state paid billions for electricity and for energy, and yet a lot of the costs went to markup. There is no markup with Gritty. It's only wholesale energy prices. They are open and transparent. They have a $10 monthly membership fee, and that is all. As a member, Gritty will deliver your electricity at wholesale prices. They even have an app that tells you exactly what electricity costs at that time. They alert you through messages on your phone when there's a spike in energy prices. So if you want to turn everything off at that time, so be it. I've got the app, and I paid $82 last month for my energy. I know exactly how all of it was broken down because it's completely transparent. There is no monthly, there's no membership, or there's a $10 membership fee, and there's no contracts. You can get out anytime you like. $10 a month membership fee. You get unlimited access at the wholesale price. No contract. If you're not completely satisfied, you can switch at any time. No hidden fees, no markups, just big savings. Go to the website, gogritty.com. That's go, G-R-I-D-D-Y.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 26th through July 6th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only, some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.